The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
All right, our next guest is South African-born multi-award-winning jazz singer and composer who started playing the piano at the age of 5, was named the Standard Bank Young Artist for Jazz, and has performed all over the world, including the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Germany, France, Italy, Norway, Sweden, and the United States. Her latest project, 7, came from 7 years of building a new life in New York City. And as they always say, 7 years, you become a new person. So we explore this and many more conversations with Melanie, who joins us for our weekly artist feature. This is Page 3.
I want to feel your new skin when all your scars have healed. Your new skin when all your burns have disappeared. From your old flame to whom you gave your heart away. Don't you worry, someday it will return to you again.
Melanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Nguwako. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure is always ours, of course. And you recently, you know, released your album 7, which marks 7 years since you moved to New York. Let's start by, you know, reflecting on that journey and how your experience in New York shaped you both as an artist and as a person.
Yes. So 7 years, you know, as you were just reading, every 7 years, our body actually becomes a new person. We shed our skin very much like a snake, right? And we lose our old cells and we have this new skin. And New York is really a very, very special and unique place. I've lived in other places on the planet, but there's no place like New York. And I say that with love, and I say it with incredible trepidation at the same time, because it's not for the faint of heart or the wallflowers. It really does make you stronger, does make you more introspective, make you more also aware of, you know, your surroundings. You're able to see that there is really art and music everywhere in New York. And so, you know, so many of the songs that became, you know, the diary that was 7, came from, you know, shaping a new life here. Lots of experiences, love lost, love found, friendships that have stood the test of time, dealing with identity, being an immigrant. What does it mean to have this shade of human, this side of the planet? Speaking on colorism, South Africa, of course, we know we have our own issues concerning that, and how we decide to deal with all of those categories. So so many of these things that I just mentioned really kind of shaped and formed and inspired me. Music 100% always continues to save me, and that, you know, this record, unlike any other, is my ode to music, you know.
Beautiful and a significant milestone, you know. I mean, and it seems like you have tied this to the album, you know, the concept of renewal. Maybe let's explore even more, you know, the theory of the 7-year cycle and how it has influenced both your creative process and personal growth with all that you've mentioned, the love lost, the love gain, etc.
Yes, I mean, you know, I think it's always for me been about authenticity. My parents, who live in the UK for the past almost 21 years, I don't see them as often as I would like, but they always say to me, we know what's happening in your life based on your songs. So I'm a very authentic writer. I definitely, as a human, I believe in honesty. I believe in authenticity. I believe in what you see is what you get. You know, I'm not much on smoke and mirrors. You know, I would rather want something that really speaks to the heart of people, you know. And for me, so much of this healed me. You know, when I think of the song Music is the Man of My Dreams, I feel in my life, you know, with love relationships, and especially my relationships with males, I can really count on my one hand the males that have not let me down in my life. And so I was thinking, well, what if music was a man? You know, music is the man of my dreams, you know, perfect pedigree, always on time. And even the you know, the bridge has those lyrics that says, you know, I always knew that you'd be with me from the start, you know, but with you, it's till death do us part.
Yeah.
You know, so me having, you know, been married twice, been divorced twice. And I really speak on that because I feel like a lot of people, you know, have a lot of shame when it comes to what's happened in their life, what's not worked. And it's taken me a lot of time, a lot of therapy, a lot of self, you know, introspection, lots of forgiveness of myself and my ex-spouses to start to feel like, you know, this is actually not a failure. With gratitude, you know, I try and forgive every day a little bit more because, and I'm sure I'm not just speaking for myself now, I'm sure there are many people on the planet that have experienced this, but in our communities in South Africa, you know, getting divorced once is crazy. And then getting divorced twice is just taboo. That people are like, well, what happened? You know, I come from a really conservative family, raised very conservative Catholic. I wanted to speak on that. And, you know, I'm a proud single cat lady. You know, just before this interview, I ran across the road and bought some cat litter and came home, cleaned the cat box, not very glamorous stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm okay. I feel like there's no shame in sharing that.
Some sugar in my bowl, it got me right down to my toes. It got me believing in all the good that there can be. Oh, music is the man of my dreams, down to earth, and he's got the perfect pedigree. Keep me warm. How native tongue is the blues? It's got me believing all the tears I cry are lullabies. Oh, music is the man of my dreams, down to earth, and he's got the perfect pedigree. Thank you.
I want to talk about some of your influences, and you've always blended, you know, South African roots, you know, with jazz and many, if I suppose, influences from your travels, we'll call it that, because that plays a huge part in the creation and in the creative space as an artist. Do you feel your sound has evolved, you know, in a particular direction, especially when it comes to the new project now?
I think it has evolved, but at the same time, you can still hear it's me. And I'm very grateful to be an artist from a songwriting perspective that really has a clear sound. Yes, I may have dabbled with different things and been a writer with Nation Beat or a writer with Small Kingdom, but I'm very fortunate that my voice is distinctive. You know, my songwriting style is distinctive. And so I feel like this is Melanie 2.0, and it was very exciting and divinely timed that, you know, 10 years later, I get to work with Bokani Daya again, who, of course, now is just on the rise, as he should be, because he's really quite phenomenal. And so I was very grateful for our collaboration to happen after a very long time of me being away. And truthfully, you know, Bokani's always answered my musical sentence. He's always completed it. So there's nothing different on this record. Like we started very simply, you know, with just the trio and myself, thinking that it would maybe go more of a Liz Wright or Gregory Porter direction, or even a Norah Jones. Once I got back to the States after recording some of the vocals and obviously recording just the trio in South Africa, I was like, oh, I think we're going to need backing harmonies. And as I started putting the harmonies down, there were some pockets that needed horns. And of course, just like Our Time, you know, that Bokani produced, my last record with him was Our Time.
Yeah.
We also continued having, you know, putting in some horns, and it just felt like, okay, that's what's really going to tie it and make it feel like a retro modern South African album. Abdullah was a very big influence for that song. A lot of the other songs, Music is the Man of My Dreams, Same Black Magic, definitely Jill Scott, Erica Badu, very big influences for me. I think female artists who have blended jazz and soul. And then, of course, like a lot of the interludes are just vocal. So definitely, you know, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, that country, that bluegrass element is definitely stronger than it was because of living in the States. And working with a band like Nation Beat that are very eclectic and world music and Americana.
You know, Kofifi FM, we're spending time in conversation this week with Melanie Skaltz. And before the music break, you know, we're unpacking the title of the project and exploring some of those concepts that bring it all together. The influence of New York and your South African roots, Melanie, I don't know, I suppose for its vibrant, ever-changing music scene, how has the city's energy maybe, you know, diversified your sound? Because I think with everything, just before we went on air, you were saying how much there's so much noise there, and we called it white noise, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
How have you, or maybe what have you learned from the jazz community there, you know, and that you've been able to incorporate into the Melanie Skaltz sound?
The jazz community, yeah. I mean, I have to be honest, I haven't had, you know, much time to kind of hang out. If a friend of mine, a colleague is playing, or I'm performing, you'll find me out, but I'm definitely more of a hermit, you know. But when I do go out, I do think that the level of jazz here, of course, it being American music, it's like American classical music. So it's on an extremely high level. New York is different to New Orleans, you know. New York is like high energy. Everyone's playing like up there all the time. Even the birds, I can hear them, you know, competing with each other in the trees, you know. It's a very competitive, you know, environment. And people are literally like fighting to be heard. And so, you know, that has informed some of the things that I've done. So, for instance, Benjamin on this album is very much about that. You know, I wrote that like waiting for a train. And I was like, the drum group came from the train. And the drum groove came from the train. I remember getting home and I sang something into my phone, and I took a little sound clip of what the train was doing, you know, and I think it was either maybe the B train or the B train or the 6 train or the 4 train, I'm not sure. But yeah, I was just like, and I quickly just, you know, kind of sang the lyric very quickly into and the melody into my phone just to not forget it. And the minute that I got home, I kind of transferred that all to, believe it or not, GarageBand, and started to build out the track. Very simple sample that I found that I liked. And I was like, oh, I'm going to call this Benjamin.
They love the green, they would steal, give their souls to run fingers through your hair, catch a glimpse of your stare. They take a bite of the forbidden fruit, just to caress you for a while, for a moment you make them smile. Everybody goes green with envy,
green with envy,
even though you can't make them happy. Oh, Benjamin. Everybody goes green with envy,
green with envy,
even though you can't make them happy. Oh, Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin. We work and slave, use the gifts that God gave us to earn you, Benjamin. Dream and sweat to paint the castles of life we think we need. We're even willing to bleed. Everybody goes green with envy,
green with envy,
even though you can't make them happy. Oh, Benjamin. Everybody goes green with envy,
green with envy,
even though you can't make them happy. Oh, Benjamin.
Let's talk about the reception, you know, of the project. I mean, it's been very positive so far. But how do you feel about how the album has received? And both by, of course, your loyal fans and the news listeners. Let's talk about some of that feedback.
Yes. I mean, I just posted today a beautiful, very insightful review that Gwen Ansell did. And I mean, I really respect Gwen so much. You know, I know that she's followed me since the beginning of my career and always been incredibly kind, yet very authentic. And I appreciate that, you know. I feel like she, you know, hit so many nails on the head in saying that this was just the right time for this album to drop for me within the trajectory of my career, you know. We had a good one in All About Jazz as well. The only complaint that I got from some people who were writing to me was saying, have got this on repeat, it's just too short, you know. So that's always a good thing when people think it's too short.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, we got to keep you wanting to, you know, hit the replay button, you know. So
listen more,
Listen more, hear something different every time you listen. The standout favorites have been Same Black Magic and Music Is the Man of My Dreams. Yeah, yours too. Well, I mean, I have to say my favorite, Love Again.
Yeah, yeah. Let's unpack them. Yeah. In fact, let's unpack some of these songs that you've just mentioned. I mean, Music Is the Man of My Dreams, I think we touched on a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, Same with the favorite, the same Black Magic or same Black Love.
Magic, yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about you know, the themes in those two songs.
Yes. Well, for me, I felt, and I really want to speak about it, not in a way that offends anyone, because it's not about offending anyone. It's about us standing together as melanated people across the planet, whether we are brown or black. We really belong to the same diaspora. And so this is what the song was about, and speaking particularly from a female, black female perspective, and an African black female. So I'm not African American, and no disrespect to African American women, you know, but African American women and African women are completely different. We are not cut from the same cloth, just culturally. And there are good things and there are bad things about that. I talk about it in the song, really saying, like, you know, maybe no one ever told you you're queen, you know, celebrate the skin that you're in, because there's still these boundaries between shades. You've got the same black magic, licorice to caramel, meaning whether you are super dark skinned, and I said a very big parentheses, to light skinned, where you kind of feel accepted more by white people, or then looked down upon by darker skinned girls. I don't want to prescribe to that, because I don't think that that's a system that we as black and brown people on this planet inculcated. Established.
Yes.
That was not our way of seeing each other. And so the song really implores us, you know, like I really pray for the healing in all of us as a human race, but especially as melanated people, because I can only speak from my own diaspora. I can't speak as someone white, because I'm not white. That's not my culture, you know, but as an African, I pray for the healing, that we can heal ourselves of these categories that were imposed.
Imposed, yeah.
The word is imposed. I was looking for that word. Imposed upon us. Because it's not how we saw ourselves.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not how we saw ourselves. We didn't give ourselves, you know, the hair grading, you know, what the curl pattern of the hair is. We didn't give ourselves the pencil test. We didn't give ourselves, oh, my nostrils are too big, or my nose is too wide, or my lips are too full, or my bums, whatever it is that really makes us who we are as black people, has been so
watered down.
But the word I'm looking for is tampered with. Our story
Powerful.
Has been tampered with, you know? And so when our story gets tampered with, and it says that in the song, it says, don't listen to the histories you're told. You know, sisters, now's the time to be bold, because we really are, you know, we're quite amazing as human beings.
We are
very amazing as black human beings and brown human beings. And we are amazing as black and brown females across the world, across the globe, you know, sitting in a moment where there is some deep sadness that we don't have our first female brown black president today.
Ooh, yeah.
As a, you know, in the US.
Yeah.
And I'm not a political person, so I don't want to open that can of worms. I will just say that there's extreme pride that everyone who was on Kamala's side, you know, feels, irrespective of how things turned out, because not to quote Martin Luther King right now, but we had a dream. We had a dream of what could have been.
Yes.
And it's okay, because the fact that that dream was almost in existence,
true,
so close, makes us feel like that could be possible.
Maybe no one ever told you you're queen. And to celebrate the skin that you're in. Whoa. Sister, when you're looking daggers at me, oh no, realize that we're both royalty. We've got the same black magic, licorice to caramel. We've got the same black magic, different stories, different mother tongues. We've got the same black magic from South Africa.
Africa to New Orleans. We are different shades of love, but we're falling through the same old dreams. We are different shades of love, but we're falling through the same old dreams. Maybe no one ever told you you're gold, and that your hair is a crown to behold. Whoa. Don't you listen to the histories you're told. Oh no, sisters, now's the time to be bold. We got the same black magic, licorice to caramel. We got the same black magic, different stories, different mother tongues. We got the same black magic, from South Africa to New Orleans. We are different shades of but we're falling from the same old tree. We are different shades of coffee, but we're falling from the same old tree. We've got the same black magic, licorice to caramel. We got the same black magic, different stories, different mother tongues. We got the same black magic, from South Africa to New Orleans. We are different shades of coffee, but we're falling from the same old tree. We are different shades of coffee, but we're falling from the same old tree.
Kofifi, we're still in the company of Melanie Skulls this Sunday, of course, and we are listening to some of her tunes from the brand new Project 7 and talking about the Black experience, the global Black experience, mm-hmm. while we're at it. You know, as we head to a close, Mel, now that 7 is out in the world, what are you most excited about, you know, moving forward? More exploration of this concept of renewal in the projects? Or are you already thinking about new themes maybe to explore creatively?
I'm always exploring. I'm always creating. I'm also a visual artist, so the two arms of my artistic kind of expression are always feeding each other in a way. And next for me is another release coming out called Sweet Nancy, where I return to my jazz roots for a minute. This was actually recorded in New Orleans. So I've gone to the birthplace of jazz, a place that I've just definitely fallen in love with, just from a diasporal spirit home perspective. And that record's called Sweet Nancy. It's produced by Adonis Rose, who is the current executive director of the foundation of the NOCA Foundation, which is the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. And everyone from Adonis to Wynton Marsalis, his brothers, Harry Connick Jr., they've all studied and graduated from this iconic, you know, art school, conservatory, if you want to call it that. So Adonis produced it. He's a drummer by trade, features Jason Stewart, who played a lot with Ellis Marsalis on double bass. It features a beautiful young pianist called Oscar Rosagnolo. Rosnielli on piano, and Derek Dugay on soprano and tenor saxophone. So it's me returning to why I became a jazz singer, and Nancy has always been one of my favorites. People have always said to me, I either sound like Ella, Sarah Vaughan, or Nancy Wilson. So the older I've gotten, I was like, well, I tried a bit of Ella, tried a bit of Sarah, but no one really covers Nancy Wilson. She's in a class of her own, and trust me, very big shoes to fill, which absolutely. I don't even think I could fill with my tippy toes. But that was not my intention, you know. It was just to pay homage and to stand on the shoulders of a giant and celebrate her.
And you know, as you speak, I'm thinking, you know, 7 years in New York is a huge milestone. And we mentioned this earlier. What would you say, Melanie, this chapter has taught you about yourself? Maybe your artistry and whilst you're there, your connection to the world.
Mm-hmm. So one day I walked around the East Village that I lived in for the most time that I've been here. and I saw someone had spray painted. It was like a tag that was all around the neighborhood, and it said, "No grit, no pearl." And I was like, this is profound. I took a picture of it and have always just held it as a reminder that the most beautiful things come out of grit, come out of the most difficult environments and difficult circumstances where there's been intense pain. Whatever you've gone through, that grit teaches you perseverance, resilience, an inner strength that you didn't even understand before you lived in a place like New York. And also not to take your artist self for granted, because often, you know, as artists, we don't have to work other jobs, but in New York, you have to work other jobs in order to survive. Unless you're a big name, and even if you are a big name, once you become a big name, that's different. But before that, you're still hustling. You're still doing regular gigs. You're teaching. You're whatever you're doing, you know, to make ends meet. And so that's what New York taught me. It taught me to really value my artistry, to never, ever, even though I never did that before, but to never, ever take it for granted to be on stage and have a voice and have an African voice.
Yes.
And have a voice that is unique, you know, that has something to say. And that's what it taught me, you know, resilience and individuality.
Can you be you, unquote.
You be you. Listen, who else are you going to be? It's too much work to be someone else.
That's right.
It just takes too much work to be anyone else. So it also taught me about like how much beauty we have as Africans. Because we really do know who we are, you know, after what we've been through. Wow. And we are so versatile. We can be in any room or any environment and thrive, you know.
That's
what I take from that.
Wow, you know? Incredible. But I just want to leave it here, you know, this Sunday. And I think thank you, you know, for spending time with us as we look forward to seeing you back on our shores. Surely we can expect to witness this new project in motion one of the days. No pressure yet, but, you know, we'll be waiting.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you. I appreciate your contribution, you know, to music, to media in South Africa. We so dearly need that as artists. So thank you for that. And most definitely, there are lots of seeds being planted. None that I can divulge to you just yet. But, you know, lots of things in the works. And definitely looking forward to coming home more than once next year.
Absolutely. She is vocalist, composer, performer, educator, a true jazz gem. Melanie Scholtz for Page 3. And she was on The K-Jazz Show.